Good morning. This morning I want to talk to you about paths. I like paths. I'm a big fan of non-concrete walkways, and the first memory I have of a path is in Pennsylvania at Grandma and Grandpa's house or Dad's house. There was this little short path. The brick walkway came down from the house, and then there was two steps at the end, and then you were at the shed, and then there was another concrete. But you were really close to the shed at that point. And so people started skipping the steps and walking off the brick and cutting the corner off to the other concrete. And I was just, I don't know why, but that 6-foot path just intrigued me. It was just packed dirt, that's all it was. And I got to thinking this morning, well, maybe that's why I have a path to my house. So, anyway, I liked going out in the woods and finding the deer paths, you know, the deer trails. I mean, you could, even when the leaves were this time of year, when you couldn't see anything except for 6 inches of leaves, you could still see where the deer paths were, because the hillside would come down, and there would be a little path, and then it would drop back off again. And you could tell where they went, because it made sense where paths go. And that's what happens. There's been colleges that have spent thousands of dollars pouring concrete trails, and then the college students make their paths, cutting across, around, and between all these concrete paths. And one college I'm thinking of, they tore up all the concrete and then kept where the paths were and concreted the paths so they wouldn't have all the dirt and the mud to deal with. But anyway, so paths are logical, practical. They go with the flow, literally. I mean, that, you don't get a path where people don't want to walk. That's just not what happens. Also, another good thing about paths is when you get to where you're going, if you want to know where you're, how you got there, you can turn around and look at your path and see how you got there. That's probably the main thing that I'm wanting to think about today. What started this was somebody that we know. You guys probably know her, but anyway, she decided to walk away from Christ, and just was thinking, you know, why do people do that? Why do people walk away? And I'd like to open with the second psalm. I'll be reading out of the NIV, but you can follow along if you want. Psalms 2. Why do the nations conspire, and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord, and against His Anointed One. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. Now these three verses here, that pretty well describes what happens. People decide, I'm going to do it my way. My ideas, I got good ideas, and we're going to take off and do this. And yet, at the same time they're doing that, they're also kind of giving credit to God because they're wanting to throw something off. They're wanting to be free. They're wanting to rebel, to do their own thing, which kind of implies that there's something there that has a hold on them that should be there. And verse 3 says, "Let us break their chains," they say, "and throw off their fetters." So people do this for different reasons. They're rebellious. They're prideful. They are ignorant. Sometimes I think they just don't know. And I think sometimes people think, if I work hard enough, long enough, then I will find another way. And that's not going to happen. Okay, reading on. Verse 4. "The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, 'I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, "You are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possessions. You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you be destroyed in your way. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." On the radio, just, I think it's Friday, I heard, I think we've probably all heard this story about these scientists. They figured out how to make life. And so they challenged God to a contest. And so God said, okay. And so they have this contest, and they all meet, and the scientists say, "Well, we think you need to retire, and we got it from here." And so the science guy says, "Okay," says, "Let's see you make life." And so the scientist says, "All right," and they grab a handful of dirt, and God says, "No, no, that's my dirt. You can't use it." And, you know, think about it. Think the rulers of the nations, everybody gets together and we're going to throw God off. Well, God says, "Okay, I'm just going to take my oxygen and go home. Or I'm going to take my nitrogen and go home. Or I'm going to take my H2O and go home." You know, it won't be long till there ain't going to be any food because there's no nitrogen to grow it. And there ain't anything to drink because there ain't any water. You know, or there's no air to breathe. That'd be the quick fix. We are totally dependent on God. There's no getting around it, no matter how prideful we get, no matter how self-sufficient we get, or how ignorant we get. The stupidest person on this earth is still relying on God. I mean, it doesn't matter if you know him or not. You still have to have him. It's a whole lot easier if you do know him. So, where I was going is we can't be too independent, because that won't get us anywhere. So Proverbs 30, this is one I like. Proverbs, well, I like all of them, but Proverbs 30, 7 through 9 is a very handy one for me to remember. "Two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of God." And that's so true. Look at the history of the Jews. They went up and they went down. They were successful and not successful. And then they were successful and not successful. And it's the same with us. We get so involved in our lives and so busy that we don't have time for God. You know? And then we slip away from God. We step off the path. And then things kind of start coming apart and we come back to God. And then it's just up and down. So this is very important. We need to find this middle ground. And let's go to Titus 1 and 16. This is Titus. All right, Titus is before Hebrews. Okay. Titus and James switch places on me. I forget which one's where. Okay, Titus 1 and 16. I think I'm going to throw 15 in there as well. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are corrupt and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciences, are corrupted. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny Him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. You see here, this is my second concern. My first reason for this lesson was, why do people walk away from God? Then my second concern was, why do I feel like walking away from God? There's times when I'm not sure I purposely want to walk away from God, but there's times when I absentmindedly wander away. There's places I end up, and I'm like, how did I get here? And then that's where you have to turn around and look at the path and see how you got there. The path will tell you how you got there. And that's why I'm reading these verses. Is we profess to know God, or I profess to know God, and then I find out by my deeds that, well, I'm not doing a very good job of demonstrating this. And so that's a wake-up call for me. Turn around and figure out how you got there. Now we're going to flip back to Psalms. Psalms 107. Uh, 33 through 43. This shows that progression, or that up and down, the cycle. He turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, and fruitful land into a salt waste, because of the wickedness of those who lived there. He turned the desert into pools of water, and the parched ground into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards that yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased, and he did not let their herds diminish. Then their numbers decreased, and they were humbled. By oppression, calamity, and sorrow, he who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in the trackless waste. But he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. You see the cycle. He helped them out and they forgot him. They shut their mouths. They quit worshiping him. So he let them go. And then they remembered him at the bottom again. And then they started worshiping him again. And he brings them back up. So whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. What's wise is learning from your mistakes, right? Well, what's very wise learning from somebody else's mistake. So this is, if I can learn this, if I can help anybody else learn this, learn from somebody else's mistake. Don't make them all yourself. Life is not that long. All right. Let's go to Psalms 119. Verses 97 through 105. That's fun to say. Okay. Remember, I'm talking about paths. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. So, mistakes are made. How many times, how many times have I ended up somewhere and it's just like, all of a sudden I realize I'm in a hole and in a dark place, bad place, whatever adjective you want to put on it. And I'm like, all right, I didn't see that coming. And then, you know, maybe after I'm out of the hole and thinking a little straighter, clearer, I look back, turn around and look back, and I see along the path, there's little things that build up, like maybe like Legos, you know, you take one piece and then you add another piece and then you add another piece, and pretty soon you got a sculpture. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, all right, how'd I get here? And so you destroy the thing, but the pieces are still laying there. And then they slowly come back together again. And then you end up back in this place again. So, this is where avoidance comes in. Hedges, fleeing, all this kind of stuff. It seems legalistic, probably, and picking at little things, maybe. But if I can avoid the first piece, maybe the second one won't add up with it. That type of thing. So that's why it's important to look back on your path and to look at it. Because how many times, all right, if you got a bare spot in your yard and you're trying to get grass to grow there, do you run out there every day and look at it? And, oh, there's no grass growing. So you throw a big fit. Lay down in that bare spot and start rolling around and thrashing and packing it all down. And then jump up and grow, you stupid ground. And then you stomp back to your house. And the next day you get up and you go back out there. Ah, there's still nothing growing there. And you throw another fit. No, you don't do that. You fluff it up. You aerate the soil. You dig it up, or I'm not a grass person, but you get it. I am a garden person, so you get it fluffy. You want fluffy ground so that the seeds can grow and you don't stomp around on it. That's called a path. So, all right. So taking that path term, why is it surprising to me when I end up in this place and all of a sudden I'm there. It's not like the devil picks me up and launches me into this hole way out there. I walk there every day. I take the steps, this step, this step, this step, this step, and they add up, and I get there, and I get to that hole. So if I can turn around, hopefully before the hole, and look back and see the path and where I'm going, I can maybe dig the path up and plant grass and work my way backwards and get, and then put a big sign there. Do not turn here, or avoid this. Don't do this one little thing, because that's the entrance to the path. There may not really be anything wrong about that thing. It may be wrong for me, but it may not be wrong for you. Okay? It may be nothing for you. Maybe something you just play with, you know. It's not, you don't have any problem with it. But for me, that starts progression down this path. And I have to avoid it. Okay. We went there. Okay. Isaiah. Oh, I wrote this one down. Okay. Isaiah 5 and 21. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. That's why I don't turn around and look at the path, because it's not my fault. I got in this hole, I'm not quite sure how, but I'm wise and I know what's going on. The devil launched me into this hole, and I had nothing to do with it. And woe to me if that's the case, because there's a whole path behind me that I need to look at. So, I can tell you, a lot of times when I end up in this hole, the most important thing to me is God's word. That gets me out of the hole, whichever hole I've fallen into this time, and I read God's word. That personally, to me, that really boosts me up. Is just, and especially if I have choice passages prepared ahead of time, which is kind of learning where your weaknesses are, but have those prepared ahead of time so that you can read those. And then the second one, which is a lot less practiced by me, is prayer. Prayer does not come easily for me for some reason. I have to work at prayer, like a designated time for prayer. So spontaneous prayer doesn't usually happen for me. but I wish it would help me out a lot if it did. So that's something I need to work on, is praying a lot more, asking God for help. And so I really appreciate Colossians 1 and 9, which I'll read, which is more than that. I just neglected to write down. So go to Colossians 1. Which is hiding. Okay, there it is. Okay, Colossians 1. Well, that's where I start. Okay, 9 through, I'm going to say 14. For this reason, now, this is, this verse, this is kind of my wish for me, my family, and the church here. And then probably expands from there, but that's close enough for now. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I need all three of those. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way. That's the goal. Please God in every way. bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I like that section. That's a very good section to read, because he's got, like we said in class, I mean, there's two sides of God's plan, and both of them are good. I mean, one's kind of painful, but it gets you back on, like in this Psalm 2, it talked about rejoice with trembling, I believe it said. Rejoice in trembling. I mean, God is huge. I mean, and powerful and just ruthless. I mean, it's his way or hell. Okay? I mean, that's like a knife's edge. You're on one side or the other. And that's just ruthless. I mean, there's no, it's just cut and dried. And now, he's also gracious and merciful. He's gone to great lengths, done great things to get us on the right side of that blade. Make sure we're on the right side. And he's offered his son. He's offered, I mean, we have it all written down for us. We can read it, we can know it, and it's there. And he's very gracious and merciful in that way. He's given us umpteen redos. We can do it over and over and over and over again, as long as there's time. So, anyway. moving on. James 1, 5. This is also, these are nothing new. These are old pieces that I need tattooed on my brain. James 1 and 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, which is me, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. I mean, what can be easier? I mean, you need this to be saved, and all you have to do to get it is ask. I mean, why wouldn't people do that? Why do people reject that? Why do I reject that? Because I think I got a better way. It's more fun this way. It's more delicious this way. It's more, I know better than God this way. It's some reason it's better this way. And then I'm going to be on the wrong side of that blade. I love that analogy of a blade, because when the blade comes down or comes up or however it's going, there's two sides. There's nobody riding on the edge. It's on one side or the other. That's just the way it is. And God says all we have to do is ask. All right, let's skip over to 3, chapter 3, 13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Now, this verse, this section of verses here, I don't know why I have to read the first sentence and then make my comments, but it reminds me. So, anyway, I often wonder, how do I know this is from God? How do I know? And this tells us. So, this is why I'm reading this. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. All right, so your motivation isn't for yourself. You don't bring the glory to yourself. That's not why you do good deeds. I mean, you can do good deeds for that reason. And people do do that all the time. But that's not from heaven. That's not from God. You do your good deeds and that to bring honor to God. And then verse 14, I think is very important. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts. I am a selfish person. I rarely think outside my sphere. I do things because I want to do them. I just... Sometimes I wonder how people can live with me. And I have these... I'm very non-out there, I guess. I live... Whatever concerns me, I'm running around in my little tube, bubble, whatever it is, bumping into everybody else and doing my thing, getting my jobs done, getting my paperwork done. Okay? And meeting my goals. And that's not always very good. In verse 14 it says, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it. Don't let that become your reason. And don't deny it. You got to look it back at the path. You got to see that. You got to see, well, that's why I'm here. That's why I didn't help that person, because I wasn't looking up. I was busy with my nose to the grindstone. You have to look back and see the path, study the path, where you're going. And looking ahead helps greatly too. But that's another lesson. Okay. Where was I? 15. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. So don't deny it. Recognize it. Take it for what it is and change your path so you can avoid it, so you don't fall in that hole. Okay. Let's see. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. So we need to, when we do something, we need to keep looking back at the path and seeing how we got there. And measure our motivations. Why did we do that? Why did I do that step? You know, why did I do that? And if we can be truthful with ourselves, that's another thing I want to do. I want to be a person who tells or lives the truth. I want to, you know, and that's not easy. That's hard. People don't like the truth a lot of the times. Your window is rotten. Okay? And if you buy all kinds of parts for it and I come and put them on, it's still a rotten window with good parts on it. I had that happen just the other day. Anyway, so the truth is not an easy thing. And especially with yourself. It's hard to look at, well, why did I do that? Well, I can sidestep, I can jig and jog and all this stuff and figure out ways to justify it and all that stuff. But if I really look and say, why did I do that? And it's not right, that piece is going to add to the next justified piece and the next justified piece. And then all of a sudden I'm in this hole again. So I'm going to finish up with Psalms 19. Psalm 19. The Psalms are a funny book for me. I do not... have never really appreciated Psalms very much, but seems to be becoming more appreciated in my life. So anyway, it's kind of an odd situation for me. Anyway, Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display their knowledge. Did you guys see the moon last night? Oh man, that was something. Yeah. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In the heavens He has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from His pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing. Let me start over. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Okay. I don't know why people walk away. There is so much greatness around us from God. It's just everywhere. And look at the rocks and people's landscaping. You look at the water, the sky, the moon last night. God's everywhere. And He has let us know what He wants from us, what He expects from us. And He's going to get it. I mean, God is merciful and He is gracious. But He is sharp. And when He comes down, there's going to be this side and this side. So please, all we can do is do our best to make sure we're on the half that's the peace, I should say, the peace that's going to go to heaven. So there's times when I do not see the value. I don't see God. I am distracted by other things. And I do things I shouldn't do. And this type of thing. And God always takes me back. And it's good to be on God's good side. And we'll offer the invitation at this time. If there's anybody who is not where they should be, they're in that hole, we can help you with that. That's what we're here for. We help each other. You guys help me so much. You may not know you help me, but you guys help me with your presence, okay? You're being around and all that stuff. And I'm very thankful for you guys. And if you come forward as we stand and sing the closing song, we can take advantage of that. that brotherhood there and make things right as we stand, sing closing songs.